This morning we were at the end of Philippians. Tonight we're going to be at the beginning. So if you go to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 6 through 8. Tonight we're going to talk about being confident in God's grace, based on verses 6 through 8 of Philippians chapter 1. So Philippians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you bless our time together. Lord, we never want to take it for granted. Father, we always want to hear from you. We want our thoughts to be established. And Lord, you said that if we would commit our ways unto you, that you would establish our thoughts, and we commit this hour unto you. Because, Father, we really do want to hear from you. We want to be guided by you. We want the Holy Spirit of God to teach us the things that we need to be reminded of. Lord, the things that we need to meditate on. The things, Father, that maybe we've forgotten. Lord, we want to be reminded of the truths and promises of your word. And, Father, as always, though, we do want to yield ourselves to your will for our life. And, Father, your perfect will is for us to be conformed into the image of Christ. And Father, that was something you predestinated for every person that would come to Jesus Christ by faith and be born again. And Father, we want you to do your work in us as you started it, and you've already said that you will finish it. And Father, we thank you for what you do in our life. And Lord, even as we go through these verses tonight, I pray that you would encourage your people. I pray that you would challenge us. Lord, help us to make decisions for Christ. Help us, Father, to be faithful in following Christ and faithful in just standing upon the promises and truth of your word, Father, until we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We ask it all in his precious name. Amen. Again, as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, I won't give the introduction again I gave this morning about the church that he writes to, but the fact that he writes to people whose lives have been changed. He writes to a church that has a love for him. And he even mentions that in this letter, how they had a love for him, and he had a love for them. And that's really the way the Christian life should be. As our lives have been changed, as we continue to grow in the Lord, we should have a love for the things of God and have a love for God's people that grows stronger and stronger. And I'll say this because the Bible does tell us, it's not popular, but God says in his word that we are to come out from among them. We're to come out from the world, and we're to be separate. We're to be distinct. We are to be a peculiar people. We're not to blend into society, but we are to stick out, I'll say, like a sore thumb. Though that we don't want to be sore thumbs, we don't want to have bad attitudes. We want to have the Spirit of Christ and have the heart of Christ for people, but we are to stand out. There's to be something different. And one of the things that Jesus told his disciples how to be different was by love. We don't live in a very loving society. We don't live in a very loving world. The past year in 2020 kind of showed that with all the riots and all the hatred. I mean, the world is just full of hate. But when people look to God's people, well, I should say when the people of this world look to God's people, they should see something different. They should see love and compassion. And they should surely see it within the church house among God's people. All right? When you look at these verses, you do see that we can be confident in God's grace that is at work in our life. Reminding ourselves that being confident, that word confident, simply means being fully persuaded. Being fully persuaded of what God's doing, God's ability and capability in our life and through our life. First thing I want us to see in verse number 6 tonight is the fact that we can be confident in God's work. We can be confident in God's work. Verse number 6, Paul writes, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, being confident in God's work. Again, there's a lot of things in life that we may not can put our confidence in. We may trust it for a while, but you may not put your confidence in it because, you know, at some point it may fail. People may fail you. That's why the Bible tells us not to put confidence in man, not to put confidence in princes, in the rulers of this world, the rulers that are they're in government seats and so forth. But we are to put confidence in God's work, that what God is doing in your life and my life, it will not fail because he's the doer of it. Again, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just flip over one page to chapter 2 and look at verse 13 as we talk about being confident in God's work. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now you think about the work that God's doing in you. The first work that he started was the work of salvation, the day that you and I put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Not because we were seeking him, but because he was seeking us. Remember, he told those that kind of scolded him and looked at him with a cross eye when he was having dinner with sinners and publicans, he told them that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. And he did, and he has done just that in our life. As he has started the work in our life, he has brought salvation into our life because we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But not only that, but he continues that work. And I want you to think about what Paul is telling the believers here at Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. One thing that tells me in that verse is that God will never give up on you. God will never give up on you. People will give up on you, but God will never give up on you because he brought you out of what the Bible talks about, the dunghill. He brought us up. He lifted us up out of the miry clay. He set our feet upon a rock. He established our goings. He's the one that started it, and he is the one that that will finish it. Again, he says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Understand, the only reason why we can even love one another with the different backgrounds that we have, and the different personalities, the different upbringings, is because of Christ in us. The only way that we can even love other people is because of Christ. He helps us to even have the will to do good, but then he helps us to perform that good will because we still wrestle with our flesh. Our flesh still doesn't want to do what's right. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh doesn't want to. But as God tells us to love our enemies and to feed them and to clothe them and to give them drink, to serve them, it shows the world that there is a difference. Again, the proof is always in the pudding, is it not? I can tell my wife I love her every day, but she wants to see some proof. She wants to see some action. And that's just the way we are. We say it sometimes, you know, words are cheap. All right? Though the words are meaningful, it's not that, you know, me saying that I love my wife is cheap, but she wants to see some action. She wants to see, you know, do I really love her? Am I going to take care of her? Am I going to cherish her? So when you think about loving one another, you know, one way I can even think of is when someone asks for you to pray and you tell them, I'll pray for you. You're kind of hoping that since they said it, they will. But you know, sometimes people say things and they don't really mean it. They're just saying it to say it because, well, that's what you say. You're supposed to say, you know, I'm praying for you, I'll pray for you. But when you think about Paul, I want you to look back here in verse number 4, Philippians. Because in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 4, Paul, again, he's writing to people that he loves very much and they're dear to his heart, and vice versa, Paul is very dear and near to the hearts of these people. In verse number 4, he says, always, this is Paul telling the church, without any ounce of a lie, but with all truth, he says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. He goes on, but he wants them to know that they're always in his prayers, that he's praying for them every day. Every day he goes to the Lord in prayer, they come to his mind and he prays for them. And the other letters, the church at Ephesus, the church at Galatia and Colossae and Ephesus, he tells them that you're in my prayers. You know what that says? That says that Paul really loves them. He prays for them. Not just a passing prayer, oh Lord, you know, I pray for the church at Ephesus. But he mentions them by name. He prays with them with an earnest heart. Why? Because that's the work that God has done in his heart. Remember who Paul was. Paul was a hater. He hated believers. He was persecuting those that followed this way, as he called it, that way, the Christian faith. But now he loves the people. He loves those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But we can be confident in the work of God that he's doing in life, that he's changing us from the inside out. Not only that, we can be confident in God's ability. Look at verse number 6 again. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work. It's God's ability, confident in God's ability to help us to be who he wants us to be. And who does he want us to be? He wants us to be conformed into the image of Christ. Again, Jesus said, how will they know that ye are my disciples if you have love one for another? The love of Christ in our life flowing through us to others testifies of the fact that we are the children of God, because God is love. Now, does that mean that you won't be upset at somebody at some point, that somebody won't do you wrong, or you won't be tempted to be mad at somebody? Those temptations will come, but the love of Christ should outrule those temptations. We should not give ourselves over to those temptations, but we should yield ourselves to the love of Christ that we have, in fact, experienced ourselves. We've tasted the goodness of God. And being confident in God's grace that he's working in our life, helping us to be able to love others, helping us to be able to serve others, so people can truly see that, you know what? Jesus Christ really cares about individuals, and he works individually in their lives to transform their lives, to fill them with the love of Christ, to help them to be able to love others, serve others, and to faithfully follow their Savior. I want you to do me a favor and go with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. As we think again about what Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, he says that he which hath begun a good work in you, he's reminding them of the work of salvation. The first work that God did in the lives of these people, and no doubt in our lives as well, is the work of salvation, where he was drawing us unto himself and helping us to see our need of a Savior and the fact that Christ was the only hope that we had. He says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. Listen to this last part, that your faith and hope might be in God. That your faith and hope might be in God. The believers there at Philippi, and no doubt the believers in this room tonight, have their faith and hope in God. He's the one that begun the work, and he's the one that's going to finish the work, but we have to yield ourselves to God's work that he's doing in our life. Being confident in what God's doing, being confident in the grace of God, that his work did not stop at the day of our salvation, but it continues until this day, And it will continue until the day that we see Jesus Christ face to face. It's called sanctification. That God will continue that work in us, sanctifying us, transforming us more and more into the image of Christ, helping us to truly have the love of Christ towards others, towards the lost, towards other saved brothers and sisters in Christ. Because listen, if you watch the news any length of time, it doesn't take long to find out that there's hatred in the world. We even live in a society that wants to call evil good and good evil. You understand tonight, as a child of God, you are viewed as the wicked one. You're viewed as evil because you, if you're a child of God, you believe the Word of God, you have convictions of the Word of God in your life, that you have convictions based on the Word of God where you don't accept all lifestyles. You don't believe in all lifestyles. And guess what? You're viewed as someone who's intolerable. Understand, there is a movement in our country among certain religious groups that want to just have all faiths united. Cast out the doctrines and let's just all be united under love. Loving one another. Don't worry about what other people believe. Just unite. You know what? As a Bible believer, I can't do that. Because there are other denominations that do not believe the truths of God's word. I cannot yoke up with them. God says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. The world says that's unkind, but it's not unkind. It's standing on the truth of God's word and showing people, no, this is the way. This is true love. Now, Jesus Christ died for every single person, but he's transforming us into him. He's helping us to be conformed into his image. There is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Now, we are to love. Okay, again, there are those that have, different beliefs that do not line up with Scripture. I love them as far as they need to be saved. I love them as God loves them, but I cannot yoke up with them. Okay, people are going to say because you don't believe a certain way that you're unkind and unloving. Don't allow that to affect you. Don't allow that to cause you to think that maybe you're not. If you're walking in the Spirit of God, if you're allowing Christ to dwell richly in your hearts and transforming you from the inside out, guess what's going to bear out in our lives? The fruit of the Spirit. And the first fruit, the first part of that fruit is love. Love is the first part of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, and it goes on from there. But you think God is doing this work in you, beginning with salvation, but then sanctification, helping us to be more conformed to the image of Christ. And think about it. There were people that hated Christ in the day that he was walking on this earth, but there were so many that flocked to him, so many that loved him, so many that put their faith and trust in him, believing that he was the Messiah, that he was the promised one. And obviously all the miracles he did proved that he was. What has he done in your life to prove that he is your Savior, that he is the one? Because remember, John the Baptist, though he was a man of God and loved God and was ordained from his mother's womb with the spirit of Elijah, the one crying in the wilderness, the voice crying in the wilderness, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, that one that knew that Jesus was the Messiah because he was told by God, the one that you see the Spirit descending upon like a dove, he's the one. John saw that when Jesus was baptized and coming up out of the water. John witnessed the Spirit descending upon him. But yet soon later, because John the Baptist gets put into prison, he sends two of his disciples to go and ask him, "Are you the one?" There was a little doubt there because things weren't happening the way that he thought they should have been happening. But John the Baptist's time was done. It was coming to an end, and the Lord was going to remove him from this earth because Jesus was starting his ministry. There are times when doubts will try to arise in your hearts and minds, but remember the love of Christ. The love of Christ that should be flowing in your heart and flowing through your life. Remember that the day that you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, as he tells the church here at Philippi. If you go back to Philippians chapter 1, again he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform it. When you think about just being confident in the work of God, being confident in the atonement of Jesus Christ, because he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, and that good work is the work of atonement, salvation that we talk about, that good work in you. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So again, he's ordained us to walk in good works, though good works do not save, but it testifies of the fact that we've been changed. Paul made this statement after his conversion, later on after his conversion, he made the statement to this fact that he wanted to fill up what was behind him with good works. Now, Paul wasn't teaching that good works will save. Paul was already saved. But as he thought about his past life and the destruction he had done to the church of God and to the people of God, he wanted to fill that up with now doing good for the Lord and doing good for God's people. He wanted to, for him, it was a goal. He wanted to outdo his bad works with good works. Again, not for salvation, but it testified of who he was. Because remember, in the beginning, those disciples in Damascus did not want to yoke up with Paul. They did not believe that Paul had been changed. But praise the Lord that there was a Barnabas that came alongside, someone who had grace in his heart, someone who had love in his heart, and saw the difference in Paul, and kind of took Paul under his wing and brought him before the other disciples and testified on his behalf that he had been changed and that he was preaching boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. You think about just being confident in salvation, being confident in Christ's appearing. I want you to look at James chapter 1. There is so much that we need to remain confident in as we live again in an anti-Christ society. Do not believe everything that's on TV. Do not believe everything that's on Facebook, Twitter, all the social media. Don't believe anything that comes out of Hollywood either, because there's a lot of anti-Christ messages out there. And it's destroying many faiths. People who have their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it's destroying their walk because they're giving more credence to the things of this world instead of the truth of God's word and what God is doing and has done in their life. That's why, again, Paul writes to the church at Philippians. That's why he writes to the church at Ephesus. They didn't have social media. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have Hollywood. They didn't have the news media now that does not speak the truth often, if at all, but it's kind of one-sided. There's an agenda behind it. Listen, we have to remain being affected by the Word of God, yielding to the Spirit of God. Again, the number one thing that is going to show that we're different from the world is love, pure love, the love of Christ flowing through us to others. And it can only happen by yielding to the Spirit of Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us, changing us, cultivating his fruit in our hearts and allowing it to produce what he wants it to produce in our lives. Look at James chapter 1 and verse number 2. Here James writes and says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know what? Confidence that Jesus Christ is going to appear. This life is not it.
You're not going to have trials and difficulties for eternity. But he uses the trials and difficulties right now to help conform us more into the image of Christ, to help us to have patience, to teach us how to be patient. And we can only be patient in trials and tribulations because of the love of Christ in us. Because we're reminded that, you know what, the Lord Jesus Christ was patient with people that were against him. He was patient in going to the cross. He looked beyond the cross at the joy that was set before him. You think, as James writes this, but let patience have her perfect work. Reminding ourselves, you know what? When you're having a bad day, when you're trying to love somebody in some way, you know, whether you're trying to do good, whether you're trying to live peaceably with somebody, you're trying to show somebody the love of Christ, and maybe they're not being very receptive of it. There's a temptation to be discouraged. There's a temptation to think, what's the point of trying to love on people that don't want to be loved? What's the point of trying to help people that don't want to be helped? Remember, Jesus helped people that would turn their backs on him, that would not faithfully walk with him. But remember, the appearing of Christ, we should have confidence. You know what? My Savior is returning, and I want to be found faithfully doing what he's called me to do when he appears, because I know not the hour. I know not the day. And I want to yield myself to the work that he wants to do in me. Again, he started the work and he's going to finish that work, but we have to yield ourselves to the work. We have to allow ourselves to be yielded to what God wants to do in our life. Look, if you would, at verse 7, Philippians. Philippians 1 and verse 7. Being confident in God's work that he's doing in our life, but also being confident in God's plan. In verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. You know what? Being confident in God's plan. God had a plan everywhere Paul went. God has a plan for where you work. God has a plan for where you live. God has a plan for everywhere you go. He has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. And when you think about Paul and the church at Philippi, God's plan was for the love of Christ to show forth. Again, we know of some names at Philippi. We know of some people and their background. But what bonds a true Bible-believing teaching church? What bonds true Christians, true born-again believers? It's the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ. And you know what? That should show forth in our relationships. It should show forth because it's something that is truly in our heart. Listen to what Paul says to the church at Philippi in verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. He already said in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine. Now he says, because I have you in my heart. One of the dangers of not fervently praying for one another, out of sight, out of mind. If someone, and Paul was able to confidently tell this church, you're always in my prayer because you're in my heart. Out of sight, out of mind. If church is only a place that we come and sit because it's what we grew up doing, because people expect it of us, then we'll end up just going through the motions. It will not be real. The people that we're surrounded by in the congregation and in our churches, they're just like people at the grocery store. We're among them doing our shopping. We leave and we never think about them again because they're not really a part of our life. Because the love of Christ was so real in Paul's life, he genuinely had a love for these people, and he told them, you're in every prayer of mine because you're in my heart. You have a place in my heart. You've made an impact on my life, just as Paul had made an impact on their life. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And time is escaping me, and I got to hurry up, but 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 1. Oh, come on, fingers. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." When you look back at verse number 7, the writer of Hebrews says, "So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." God's plan, being confident, you know what? God's doing a great work in our life, and God wants to use us in great ways, and it is to be a help to other people. But the best way to be a help to other people is to have the love of Christ richly in your hearts, flowing in your heart. That, you know what? When we tell somebody, "I'm praying for you," that we honestly do it. And that the next time we see them, we ask them about, "Hey, I was praying for this. You know, how are things going?" Not patting myself on the back, but someone had told me about someone else's son who was going through the same ordeal as my son had gone through and is going through. And I've made it a point to try to reach out. This person doesn't go to our church, but I've talked to him on the phone, tried to encourage him and his family as their son is going through chemotherapy for leukemia. You know what? It does something for that person that you're talking to and trying to encourage them, but you know what? I'll be honest, it's done something for me. I kind of have this bond with them. Though I've never met him, yet I have this bond with him, and not just because our sons have something in common, but because he's another brother in Christ. See, they don't have to just be a part of your church or your family, just another brother or sister in Christ that you meet, and you have the love of Christ for them, and you want to help them, and you want to pray for them. Because we are to be in samples, examples of the believers to those that we are ministering to those that are in our lives. Again, being confident in God's plan, that God has a perfect plan for your life, and that is to be a part of people's lives. You know what the devil wants? The devil wants us to be isolated. 2020 was the worst year for a lot of people, not just churches. Families in general that were isolated because of a disease, because of a virus, because of COVID-19. And unfortunately, many people are still isolated because of it, because of fear. Listen, the devil wants us to be isolated, not because of a disease, not because of a virus, but he wants us to be isolated so we cannot show people the love of Christ. People need to be affected by people. And if they're not being affected by God's people, guess who they're going to be affected by? The things that they surround themselves with. The people that are anti-Christ. Social media that's anti-Christ. TV shows. I mean, the love of Christ truly transforms a person. Truly transforms a person. Never get over the love of Christ in your life. You know, often we have to remind ourselves what God's done for us and how much he's done for us since the day of our salvation. Listen, God has a plan for your life, and that involves people. Showing people the love of Christ. Showing people that, you know what? Your life has been transformed. I'll be honest with you. After I confess to the congregation this morning about my bout with depression as a teenager and even trying to commit suicide, the first thought I had as soon as it came out of my mouth, "Oh, you shouldn't have said that. People are going to lose respect for you. people are going to think ill about you. And I thought, wait a minute, people need to know that a life's been changed. How will people ever know that the power of Christ is real and that there's not a single person in this world that Jesus Christ cannot come into their life, give them salvation because they put their faith and trust in him, and then their life be transformed? Again, that's the devil wanting us not to show people the love of Christ and not to be the example that God wants us to be. We are to be examples to others through the work that God is doing in our life. Look at with me real quick at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Never be ashamed of what God's done in your life and what God has kept you from and spared you from. People that are struggling do need to see people that have truly the love of Christ flowing through them, but also need to understand that, you know what? We're not perfect. We are people whose lives have been changed. Your greatest testimony is your life. You know, sometimes we get caught up with, well, I don't know what to say. How do I tell someone about salvation? The best way is to tell them what God's done for you, is to listen. Because you know what? When someone tells you of a problem in their life, or someone comes to you that's not a Christian, but they know you're a Christian, because guess what? All the people that are not born again, they know who to go to when they need something. There's probably a majority of the adults in here can testify of someone coming to them who was not born again, but they knew who to come to ask for prayer and help. I mean, it's happened time and time again with myself, with my wife, and I'm sure with the rest of you, because you have a testimony that speaks loud and clear, though up to that point, they kind of pushed you away because they're hanging out with the lost crowd and yet by themselves, like Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night and saying, we know that you have been sent from God because no man can do these miracles, but he'd be sent from God. And Jesus obviously cut through the chase and said, you must be born again. Nicodemus, with his colleagues, gave Jesus the cold shoulder, but in his heart, he knew that he needed to go to Christ. And people, I'm saying this, people know who to go to because they're watching. They know who's genuine. They know who's fake. And they want genuineness. You know what? I'll tell you this, even liars want the truth. Even liars want the truth. Those that are living a life that is a lie, they still want the truth. But listen, how can we be an example of Christ without the love of Christ in our life and flowing through us? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, if you would. Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. That's speaking of you and me. That's speaking of the church family. That's speaking of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Provoking one another to love, encouraging one another in the love of Christ. That's God's plan, and that's what Paul is doing with the church at Philippi. He is encouraging them, letting them know that, hey, you're in my heart, you're on my mind. Every prayer I offer up to God, you're there. You're in my prayer. I mean, because they are near and dear to his heart. Listen, there's probably not a parent or grandparent in here whose child, children, grandchild, grandchildren are not near and dear to your heart. Right now, I have one grandson who is near and dear to my heart. Every time I see him, I smile. And when he hasn't been to our house in a few days, we start to have withdrawals, don't we, Nana? We start to have withdrawals, and we're like, oh, I miss my Joey. You know, we see him, we kiss him, we love him up, right? We pour out our love on those that we love. But who did Jesus love? He loved the unlovable. He shed his love on those that were kind of distant to him. Because you know what? There are going to be people in your life and in my life, they want to see the genuineness. Again, many people have been hurt by people who said they loved them. And maybe you have as well in your lifetime, you've been hurt by those that say they love you. Yet Jesus Christ has never done you wrong. Jesus Christ has never mistreated us. In fact, you know what? When you and I have messed up, and no doubt we have, we probably wouldn't, you know, confess it among ourselves, but, you know, we all make mistakes. We're still sinners saved by grace. When we make mistakes and mess up, Jesus still loves us, and he comes to us just like he did Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? I mean, that was starting to grieve Peter's heart. Peter's like, Lord, you know I love you. But Peter had made a mistake. He did something he said he would not do. And guess what? Jesus came to him to restore the relationship and to let Peter know that he was still loved by the Lord and that he was still a part of God's plan. All right? So you think, God always, we love it when God reminds us of how much he loves us. There might be someone that we're trying to love on, or they're kind of being distant. Look, keep loving on them. Keep showing them the love of Christ. Because again, many people have been hurt and they have up their defensive walls. But guess what? The love of Christ will get through that wall. The love of Christ will show them the genuineness of your heart. And Paul was being open to the church at Philippi, and they knew the love that Paul had for them because it was a genuine Christ-like love. Very quickly, for time's sake, I want you to, I want you to go to John chapter 13 and verse 35. John chapter 13 and verse 35. As you're there, I want to read to you Philippians 1 and verse 8. Again, as Paul tells the church that they're always in his prayer, they're in his heart. Paul in verse number 8 says, for God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Paul says to these believers, God is my record. God's my eyewitness that the things I'm saying are true. Because again, some people may not believe that you're being genuine. But God knows. God knows if we're being genuine. And again, it's the love of Christ that will break through many walls in people's lives. But being confident, as we think about it, being confident in the work that God's doing in our life, being confident in God's plan that he is working in our life, what the plan that he brings us together, and he wants to use us to be an example not only to the believers, but to the lost as well. But according to verse 8, being confident through Christian love. Being confident, you know what? Love still works. The Christian love is still real. It's still genuine. Again, like I said somewhere, it's probably not a person in here that has not been hurt at some point by someone you thought loved you. And maybe you have felt like you could never forgive that person. You could never love that person again. But think about the example that Christ gives us, being scourged, being crucified, and yet he still loved those that were scourging him. Because he said, Father, forgive them for they're not what they do. He still shed his blood for those that hung him on the cross. He still shed his blood for those that cursed his name, for the religious rulers that came by and mocked him, and all the things that were said. He never stopped loving, though people stopped loving him. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is John 6:66. And John 6:66 says that many left him and followed no more with him. Because he said some things prior to that that was kind of hard for them to understand. He said some spiritual things, but what he said, it confused them. It totally made them uneasy because he said, except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, ye cannot be my disciples. And obviously he's speaking spiritually. He wasn't speaking cannibalism. But John 6:66 says many, many that were following him left him to follow no more. He still loved them. He still died for them. So what I'm saying is we need to be confident that, you know what, the love of Christ is still the right love to have. We are to live peaceably with all men as much as lies within us. And what lies within us? Hopefully the love of Christ. Because again, this world needs to see that, you know what, there is a Savior that loves them. There is a Savior that will never do them wrong. There is a Savior that shall supply their every need. And again, there's not a single one of us that does not still need God working in us, transforming us, helping us to be more Christ-like, and helping the fruit of the Spirit to bear out in our life. In John 13:35, you're probably already there. It says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Love one for another. One of the most destructive things in a relationship is no love whatsoever, where one stops loving the other. One allows himself to be offended by something, and they stop loving the other person. Not just in marriage, but in Christian relationships. I can't tell you that, you know, how many people I know that have allowed an offense, directly or indirectly, of someone else, has caused them to not love anymore. Forgetting the grace that we have received, forgetting the work that God's doing in us, and the fact that God always, when we come back to Him with a repentant heart, forgives us and loves us. I'm glad that the love of God in our life is never ending. That's why we need His grace in our life. That's why we need Him working in us to help us to reciprocate that love to others, the love of Christ. And I know that, you know, we always have that thought, well, Pastor, that's good, but you don't know what this person's done to me. Again, Jesus Christ being our example. There's not one of us in here who has been scourged and hung on a cross. We probably have felt like it because of the hurt that we felt in our heart, but physically we've never been treated the way Christ has been treated, was treated, and yet He helps us through His love to be able to forgive and to be able to love people. You're always going to have someone do you wrong. You always have someone not agree with you. But God's plan is for us to still show the love of Christ. And we can only do that if we yield ourselves to Christ, who began the work in us through salvation, and will continue it until the day of our redemption, until the day we see Christ face to face. So as you think about it, having confident in Christ, having confident in the grace of God, that, Lord, you know what, even be honest with God at times. God, I cannot in and of myself do this. I cannot in and of myself show this person love because of what they've done. But through you, Lord, through Christ, I can, because I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So again, remember, God's doing a work in your life. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful that God hasn't given up on us. So I'm saying, don't give up on other people. Continue to show the love of Christ. Continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Because again, people need to see people whose lives have been changed. Again, I love Paul. I love the fact that his life is not my life. I don't think I could have handled Paul's life. But you know what? Paul had a great testimony because he was known for being a Christ hater. He was known for being a murderer. But guess what? Then he had a testimony of loving Christ, and his life bore it out. And guess what? I believe that helped a lot of people come to put their faith and trust in Christ, because, man, if Christ can change him, surely he can help me. And that's the way we ought to think about it, you know? God's love. That's exactly what drew us. Go ahead and stand if you would. We'll close a word of prayer. But that's exactly what drew us to Christ, was His love. His love for us. Father, we do thank You for all that You do in our life. Father, I pray and trust that You would speak to our hearts tonight. My words are few. My words are not powerful. My words cannot change a single heart. But Father, your word is quick and powerful, and we thank you that your word is living. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. But Lord, it's a mirror as well. It shows us what's wrong. And then it shows us how we can make it right, and that's through Christ. We thank you, Father, for all the things that you do in our life, that, Father, you've never given up on us. And help us, Lord, to really not to give up on other people. Prayer truly has power. And I believe that Paul, as he prayed for the people at Philippi, as he prayed for the people in the different cities that he had been to, even as we looked at this morning, praying that they would be strengthened from within. They'd be strengthened in the inner man. And Father, there's not a single person who can escape prayer. And Father, truly we ought to show the love of Christ in our actions and words to people, but I believe also through prayer it shows how much we love individuals because we're praying for them consistently, constantly, fervently. And Father, we thank you that we do have a high priest in Jesus Christ, Lord, who intercedes on our behalf. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. As the piano begins to play, I'm going to give you a few moments alone in prayer.